Hello and welcome to the Creating Happy Writers podcast. My name is Steph Caswell, a multi-published author and writing coach who believes that every woman has a story worth sharing. I'm here to show you that writing your book doesn't have to be overwhelming or time-consuming. After all, you already have the expertise and content within you. Instead, I want to help women like you create a guilt-free space to write, build the confidence to share your message, and turn your knowledge into a business-boosting book that helps you earn what you deserve. You can get more support from me via my weekly email newsletter or in my book, Dare to Write. You can also become a member of the Happy Writers Hub, a space for you to dedicate regular time to your book project and start prioritising it as your next bold business move. Doors are always open, so come and join us for weekly co-writing sessions, as well as monthly live Q&A sessions where you can ask anything you'd like about the writing and publishing process. Links to the newsletter, book, and the hub are all in the show notes. Hey, it's Steph. Welcome to episode 96. Today, I'm going to chat through my recent publishing pivot, namely that I've decided to have a whirl at the traditional side of things. What does this mean? I'll be pitching my book to agents and publishers to see if I can get a book deal. Now, if you've been following or listening to me for a while, you might be a little surprised to hear that information. And to be honest, it came as a bit of a surprise to me too. But it feels right. And I guess I've learned over the years to go with my gut, to stop putting off the feeling that this is the path that I'm meant to be taking right now. And this might sound a bit woo. It might sound a little bit as though listening to my gut, following my intuition, believing that at the moment, at this present time, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. It might sound a bit woo and it might sound a bit over the top, if you like. Or it might be that this completely resonates with you and that you are somebody like me who over the years has really started to listen to that inner voice, listen to my gut instinct. And if history tells me anything when it comes to listening to my gut or not listening to my gut, I would say that I've learned the hard way, that I've continued to do things that have been detrimental to my mental health or to my overall progress because I've deliberately ignored what my gut has been telling me. And I decided last year that I was going to stop doing that. And when I meditate in the morning, which I do every morning, I have been really trying to tune in to what my gut is telling me, what that inner knowing is. And I've journaled on this. I've spoken to my friends and my family about this decision. And I've realized quite a few things along the way. And I wanted to share them with you in this episode in the hope that you can see that publishing, writing books is not always straightforward. It's not always linear. It's not always obvious. And that perhaps it makes you think about what choices you're going to make when it comes to publishing your book or future books, or whether you've made your mind up already and this is just confirms for you that the route that you're going down is the right one. I'm going to start by giving you a bit of context. In case you're new to the podcast or in case you aren't fully aware of my publishing background. So all my books so far have either been self-published. So the five books that I've written so far that I will publish or have published under my name have been self-published. The other three are ghostwritten. They've been ghostwritten for Australian publishers and also for an independent individual client who wanted me to ghostwrite her book for her. So I've done publishing in all sorts of different ways. I've also been published, not in book format, but I've been published for work to do with teachers. I've been published in teaching magazines, but I've also been published by Pearson. I was taken on to do some of their resources for teachers way back when, 10 years ago probably. and I created some of their schemes of work. So I have been published in one way or another in various different ways, and I have never until this point done the traditional route. And I've always been an advocate, and I will remain an advocate for self-publishing, because I truly think that it is the simplest, easiest way to get your work out there. If you're not somebody who wants to be a career author like me, then it makes sense, right? It makes sense. And up until this point in my life, it's made sense to me too. And I work with a lot of self-publishing authors. I love working with them because I love talking to them about the autonomy that they can get through self-publishing, but also that they can publish the book they want to write in the way they want to publish it, the way they want to write it, including all the things that they could possibly want to say and have in there, which is not always the case when you traditionally publish. I have always thought that that would be the route that I continued to go down in my non-fiction writing. I'll be honest, when I think about fiction writing, when I think about my children's books I've written and the adult book I'm currently writing, my heart has always been in the traditional space. I've always wanted to think that I could go and get a publishing deal for fiction, for my novels. But for me, it's always been I love writing nonfiction. I find nonfiction pretty easy to write. I know that might sound a bit wanky, but it's true. And I've decided this year that I'm not going to shy away from that confidence, and I'm going to embrace the fact that this is something I'm good at. This is something I'm skilled at. And I love teaching others how to do it too. That won't change. But for reasons that I can't quite fathom, when I finished this book, book 8, and I sent it to Jessica, my editor, I sent it off to her and I had some lovely feedback, had some great feedback, some great suggestions for changes and tweaks and things that she thought would make it even better. And I took all of those on board and have implemented 95% of what she suggested. But it was only when I got it back from her that I started to think to myself, hang on a minute, you've got a book here that you believe strongly in. It's a book around productivity for writers. If you remember, if you've listened to the podcast before, it's a book about how to be a more productive writer, how to write in a time when we're all supremely busy in one way or another. And I reflect back on the fact that I've written all my books in 30-minute sprints. It's why I love the little and often approach. It's why I always advocate for trying to sit down every day if you can to do some writing to keep momentum going. And I really think that this book is probably the best one I've written to date. It's one that I feel I'm at my most confident when it comes to writing it. I love Dare to Write. I really do. It's a book that enabled me to fall back in love with nonfiction after having a period of time from writing my teaching books to writing for writers. It was the book that allowed me to kind of explore that space and to start working with business owners. So it will always have an absolutely treasured place in my heart. It got through to the Business Book Award finals. I love Dare to Write. But I think I love this book more, the one I've just written, mainly because I'm actually stepping into my true author self. I think I started it in a different place. I started it from a place of, I know what the hell I'm doing now. And I really wanted to explore my writing voice a bit more. I wanted to explore structure a bit more, play around with what I thought the structure should be. And I suppose deep down, I've always had an inkling to think, is traditional a route that I might pursue? And when I got Jess's feedback, when I read through it, when I got all the glorious things that she suggested, but also all of her really complimentary comments on the book, I just thought, do you know what? Let this be the time. Let 2025 be the time that I explore this properly. And I sat with it for a bit. I journaled on it, as I said in the introduction. I also chatted to my best friend. I chatted to my husband about the decision. And everybody's response has been encouraging. And more than that, my own response to this decision has been full of positivity, that this feels right, this feels good, this feels like an obvious next step. And I sat with it for a while and I thought, do I think that I'm doing this because I want validation? Do I want a traditional publisher or an agent to tell me that my book is good enough? And actually, I don't think I do need that validation. I feel like my sense of confidence is really in a place that it's not been before. It's been in a place where I am fully believing in my own ability. And this is new to me, perhaps in the fact that I've always wondered whether my books are industry standard. And I know that my children's novels are. I had an industry editor feedback to me. She said to me in the report, you write at a excellent standard, totally publishable standard. And the reason that the children's book didn't get off the ground, if you remember, if you know, is because the protagonist is neurodiverse. And in children's publishing, you cannot write now a neurodiverse character unless you are neurodivergent yourself. And I am not. My son is, but I am not. So I kind of shelved that book. But the fact that she sort of gave me that little bit of feedback to say, yes, you are writing at a publishable standard in a traditional sense, gave me a little bit of a boost. But I think it's more the fact that I've always held myself back in that I feel like traditional deals, publishing deals, book deals, are what happened to other people. And it's a weird thing. It's not that I don't think I'm good enough, because I truly believe deep down that I am. I just don't feel like it's something that happens to people like me, which sounds really grandiose, and it is only a book deal. But when you're an author, and when you're an aspiring author, particularly if you're aspiring to get a traditional deal with a publishing house, there is this element of, it doesn't happen to people like me. Who am I? That kind of self-doubt in a sort of, I guess, reflecting back on the way I've always viewed life, is that things happen to other people. Success happens to other people. Success on a business front, success in writing, success in, I don't know, any kind of family hobby, you know, anything like that. Success is always what happens to other people. And I know all of our definitions of success are different. And what I think success looks like will be very different to what you perceive it to look like, but also what matters to us is so different. And this is more, I suppose, from a place of intrigue, curiosity. I really am wondering whether things like this, like a book deal, happen to people like me. People who have perhaps self-published in the past, who've perhaps held back on doing this kind of thing, because we know it's hard, okay? The evidence shows that it's hard. And so perhaps deep down I've thought, if it's really hard to get a deal, if it's hard to break through, then A, who am I to, you know, have this happen to me? But also, how realistic is it? How realistic is it that I'm going to get a book deal? And I've let all that narrative, all that storytelling in my head do the work. And I just sat a few weeks ago with it and I thought, but it could happen to people like me. It could happen to me. Of course it could. Why couldn't it happen to me? So it's such an interesting thing that I've been reflecting on, and I wanted to share it with you, because I know that quite often if you're somebody who's starting your first book, or perhaps you've done one and you're thinking of the second, to hear somebody who's 8 books in reflect back to you that this is how they feel 8 books in, I hope it makes you realize that even when you're 8 books in, 10 books in, 20 books in, whatever it might be, that you're going to have these moments where you think, am I the sort of person that this happens to, or am I good enough? All these kinds of things that we can tell ourselves in our heads. And I just thought hopefully it will make you realize that I have these conversations daily in my head about my writing, about my career, about me thinking that, actually, can I do this? in a route or down a route that perhaps I thought I didn't want to go down. I'm also willing to consider being a guinea pig. Again, this might seem weird, but I really feel that I want to document this journey because I want you, I want my audience, I want anybody thinking about whether they can, should, will write a book in whichever way they choose to publish it. I just want them to kind of see what the journey's like and see the highs and the lows. I want to document it for my own interest, to reflect on it, to share it with my boys. Bo came down earlier. Bo is my youngest. He's about to be 16. And he said, when's your book out? It's June the 9th, isn't it? Because I'd originally told him when I was self-publishing, I was aiming for June the 9th, day after my birthday. And I said to him, actually, no, I've decided I'm going to try this publishing deal route instead. And he was like, oh, well, I've told my friends that it's coming out on June the 9th. Well, I'm going to have to go and tell them that that's not the case anymore. I looked all disgruntled. But I want them to sort of be part of this too. They're both older now, like I say, 16 and 17. And I want them to sort of go on this journey. Bo is very keen to perhaps go down the author route as an adult, perhaps script writing, that sort of thing. And I think it'd be really interesting for them. But I also think it's going to be interesting for me to document it emotionally, as well as kind of the practical side of it. Like, how long did it take people to get back to me? Did they get back to me? Did I hear anything? Were there any snippets of interest? Do I get a deal? Don't I get a deal? How do I feel about that? All of this stuff, which I suppose for a lot of authors, we kind of keep to ourselves. And maybe we only want to show the shiny, fun, look at me, I've got a book deal side. And we don't want to do the, oh, this is my 55th rejection. And I've decided that, you know, I'm just never opening my laptop ever again. That kind of stuff. I really want it to be a true reflection of my experience. And obviously, everybody's experience will be different. There'll be some people who walk into publishing deals very easily. There'll be people who never get a publishing deal. And there'll be everybody in between. So I just want you to know that I'm doing this as an experiment. I'm doing this as a chance to see what it's like so that I can share it with you, bring you along on the ride. And I feel like I'm able to look at this from a place of relative detachment and a place of, if this doesn't work, that's okay. Because I've got a book that I love that Jess has edited. It's pretty much ready to go. And this is just a pause on that journey. And I'm going to give myself a time limit. I'm going to give myself 6 months to the end of the year, to the end of 2025. And I'm going to start querying. I'm going to start pitching. And I'm going to give myself the rest of the year to do that, to see what happens, see if I get any bites, see if anyone shows any interest. And if they don't, if nothing comes of this, by the new year, by January 2026, I've still got a book that's ready to go that I can just publish in the new year. And jobs are gooden. I know from my experience of talking to authors with traditional deals that the book that I've written that Jess and I have worked hard on may not be the book that a publisher wants to buy, in terms of I may need to change things and tweak things because they buy the rights to it. So what actually happens is that they might take things out or want me to put chapters in or change things. And again, it's part of the experience that I'm going to be sharing with you if it gets to that point. So for me, it's a win-win. I have nothing to lose in this situation. I have a book that is completed. It's ready to publish. If after 6 months, 7 months, nothing comes of this adventure, then I will be quite happy and proud to put that book out in the world in a self-publishing context and share it with you all anyway. So whatever happens, you will read this book one way or another. But it's just, I really want to be a guinea pig. I really want to experience this to the fullest because I'm just curious. And finally, I want to do this because I want to be able to speak and support people from a place of experience. Now, I know pretty much what a book proposal looks like. I know the journey. I know that I've worked with authors on their proposals. I've worked with self-publishing authors we've worked together to pull a book proposal together, because having a proposal, whether you're self-publishing or traditionally being published, is a great idea because it brings your ideas together, really consolidates stuff. And I know what goes in each section, and it's something I love putting together. But I've not had the experience of putting it together and then trying to get an agent or a publisher. Because, as I said, I've only ever self-published. So I really want to be able to support authors in the future who come to me with the question, should I self-publish or should I go down a publishing route? I really want to be able to support them in that decision from a place of experience, because I can speak very, very well about the experience of self-publishing, what it's like, how long it takes, how much it costs, whether you need to do this or that. I can talk about that really, really comfortably. I can talk about traditional from a place of knowledge, but not a place of actual lived experience of doing it myself. So I really feel like this is an opportunity to learn, to grow, to establish an area of my business that perhaps I haven't explored as much, and to be able to give information and share my knowledge from a completely different perspective. And that's one of the real reasons that I felt spurred on to do it, is so that I can support people who do want to go down that route in the future from a place of lived experience. So what are my next steps? Well, now I've made the decision, it kind of feels very liberating, because I've been umming and ahhing, should I, shouldn't I, should I be doing this at all? And I've decided, yes, yes, I am. So now the decision's been made, it feels really clear as to what my next steps are. So first and foremost, as I said, I'm giving it a time limit. I'm giving it the rest of 2025. And that feels like a good amount of time to kind of see whether there's any interest. If there is some interest, then I know that perhaps I'll extend that into the new year and see what else comes about. If there's no interest at all, then I will stop at Christmas. And in, as I said, January, it will come out self-published. And I'm really happy with it, because I know what I've written is my favourite book so far. But also I'm really proud of the writing in it, proud of the research, proud of what I'm trying to get across. So it's coming out, whether I go whichever route I go down, should I say. So the next steps, I've established a time limit, 6 to 7 months of this, querying, pitching, etc. I've also decided I'm going to go down an agent route. I'm not going to just pitch to smaller publishers. I'm going to try and pitch to an agent first. Again, this might get nothing in response, in which case I will try smaller publishers and pitch directly. But my first port of call is to pitch to an agent. The reason that I'm doing this is two, really. Firstly, because I think that an agent will have my best interests at heart. I know that they'll be able to tell me what is a good offer if that comes to it and what isn't, but also to have an ally, to have somebody to give me kind of some initial feedback, some initial thoughts, and to kind of know contract-wise, legally, like all that stuff. I think it's best to have an agent on side. But also, I want to see if I can get an agent, because if in the future I decide, no, not if, when in the future I decide to think about my fiction, my novel writing, and seeing whether I can get anywhere with that, having an agent already is really helpful. So this is kind of me thinking long-term strategy. Now, the agent might not be somebody who deals with fiction and novels, and that's absolutely fine, but having somebody already in the industry who I'm working with, who I know, who might know other people that they can introduce me to or could share my work with, I think is a foot in the door. So definitely going down the agent route to start with. Again, giving it some time. It's notoriously slow, the traditional industry. It's notoriously frustrating. You just hear crickets sometimes. You don't hear anything at all back from people that you've pitched to. So I'm prepared for it. I know it's happening. I know I'm going to feel frustrated at times. But I think personally for me, because publishing journey should be individual, personally for me, an agent is the right next step. And finally, now I've made those two decisions, it's actually writing my pitch and my book proposal. Luckily for me, I know this book inside out. I know the angle that I'm writing from. I know why I'm writing this book. You know, the very important question in a proposal, why now? Why this book? Why now? And I will do an episode later on where I talk you through my proposal once I've written it and I share with you kind of the angles that I've come from and why. I know in my mind what that is, and I just want to kind of flesh it out a bit before I share it with you. So I kind of know the components of a proposal. I know my book now really, really well. I'm really confident that I'm going to be able to share the book to the best of my abilities in this. But the first thing I need to do is pitch it to an agent, to agents, plural, to see whether I can get any pickup. So that's my first step, is to really write my pitch and really get it to a really good stage. And I'm aiming to do that by the end of May, so in a few weeks, to really get that absolutely nailed. So then I could start pitching to agents and seeing whether I get any take. While those pitches are out, I'm going to start the proposal, and then I will see where that takes me. But first and foremost, going for my agent over the next few weeks, I'll be writing it, and hopefully then I'll be able to share any updates with you on my socials, in my email newsletter. So if you have not signed up to my email newsletter, the link is in the show notes, but also make sure you're following me on social, Steph Caswell Author on Instagram, and I'm on LinkedIn. I will be sharing all of the journey on socials and in my newsletter as well as here. So hopefully it will give you an opportunity to really feel like you're part of this journey. Before I go, I feel confident in my book idea, my concept. I feel confident this is the right time in the industry for this book. And it's made me realize how important a strong concept is. And I've developed very recently a very new service, a one-to-one 90-minute session where you can come with your idea and really get clarity. It's called Get Clear on Your Book Idea. Am I happy it rhymes? Yes, I am. And it's for you if you are right at the beginning of your journey, if you've got an idea for a book and you're wondering whether it's got legs, if you like, then it's a chance for you to sit with me and talk it out and to get really clear on the angle, on the concept, whether it's marketable, on who your reader is, and also kind of where your book fits in the market and why now is the time for people to read your book, whether it's traditional route you're looking to go down or self-publishing. This kind of session is there for you to really get absolutely clear on who you're writing to, why you're writing your book, and give you the confidence to start. Because sometimes when we're worried if the idea works, then we don't start at all. So get clear on your book idea. The link to this is in the show notes. So please go and check it out if you are somebody who has one idea, or maybe you've got three or four and you're trying to choose the right one. The session is perfect for that sort of thing. So that's it from me this week. I hope you've enjoyed listening to why I am pivoting my publishing choice. And I, like I said, will be sharing my journey far and wide. So I hope you are here for it. I hope you're here to kind of see how it goes. And I will be honest with you throughout it. I'll be sharing the highs, the lows, the frustrations, the victories, if there are any, and hopefully it will give you some inspiration and also just kind of be part of it, because when we're part of something, it feels like an exciting time to see what other people are doing and to reflect on what you might want to do as well. Until next time, my love, happy writing.